It was Game 7, the 2016 World Series. The Chicago Cubs were leading 6-3 and hoped bringing in their dominant relief pitcher to get the final outs would seal the victory and break their longtime curse. But the Indians had a double and a two-run home run later, and the game was tied. The Cubs managed to get the final outs, but the home field advantage was back on the table. Cleveland had all of the momentum squarely on their side. And most Cubs fans began to have that all too familiar thought. Here's where the wheels fall off. The curse is still alive. Then Providence intervened. The rain picked up. And all of a sudden, the Progressive Field grounds crew rolled out the rain tarp onto the field, forcing players, managers, and fans alike to wait anxiously for the game to continue. Sensing the deflated and even defeated spirits in the Cubs' dugout, right fielder Jason Hayward called his team together to passionately exhort them with one simple message. He told them, remember who you are. He said, remember who you are. That message was to remind the Cubs of their identity that season. They had the best record in the regular season in baseball. They were winners all season long, and they didn't come back from a 3-1 deficit in the World Series to lose Game 7. It was their game to win as much as it was their game to lose. Well, we don't know if it was the speech, but they were invigorated. They were inspired, and their bats rallied for 2 go-ahead runs in the top of the 10th. The Cubs could have accepted the inevitable defeat, but instead charged ahead. Fueled by the truth of who they were, they won their first World Series in 108 years. You think it's been a long time since 1995? Not been 108 years, folks. Not even close. In this case, the Cubs' identity was tied to a 6-month season where they won 103 games. Their identity was connected to their previous successes. But for followers of Jesus Christ, our identity is different. Our identity is different. It isn't tied to our past mistakes, praise the Lord. It isn't tied to our past successes. It's tied to our connection with Jesus Christ. That's our identity. Last Sunday, we examined the last of the 7 I am statements of Jesus in John's gospel. Because of the complexity of this statement and the explanation that follows, we're going to continue examining Jesus' statement, I am the true vine, in John chapter 15. Last week we examined verses 1 and 2, but I want us to start back at the beginning, and I want us to look at John 15, verses 1 through 6. John 15, verses 1 through 6. Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. In verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Today I want us to focus on verses 3 through 6. This is an image that is it has a lot of details to it. It's not really complicated. That's the why Jesus uses these images that we can understand in order to relate them to spiritual principles. But there's a lot of details in it. So I want us to look and focus this morning on verses 3 through 6. And I want us to see three main truths that we should apply to our walk with God. Three main truths that we see in these verses that we should apply to our walk with God. The first truth is this: the transformative power of the gospel of Jesus. The transformative power of the gospel of Jesus. Look back at verse 3. Verse 3. Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." This verse is a transitional statement where Jesus shifts from the declaration of the I am statement to addressing the listeners directly. But this transitional statement isn't just a literary device. No, it is packed with truth. Jesus addresses specifically those who are fruitful in their walk with God. He's presented us this image that shows branches that are fruitful and branches that are not. And now he's directly addressing those that are producing fruit. You see, if you have been pruned by the gardener, then you are cleansed of your sin and sinfulness. You are reconciled to God. Your life has been transformed. You have been renewed. You have been redeemed. Jesus is using another image to explain and expand the image of a branch being pruned. But the important point here is that the cleansing, the pruning, if you will, comes because of the words I have spoken to you, is what Jesus said. You are clean, you are pruned, you are fruitful because of the words I have spoken to you. Jesus wanted them and he wants us to understand the transformative power of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That there is, folks, so much information. There's so much advice that we can give and receive. There is a mountain of information about life, death, and the meaning of all of it. There's so much information about health and finances and the economy. There's so much information about education, careers, and retirement. There's tons of information about raising cows and raising chickens and raising kids. It's everywhere. But the most important message, the most important thing that you and I can learn, the most important thing that you and I can tell others about is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's because it changes, it's transformative. The teaching and the preaching ministry of Jesus is not like every other message. It is informative. It is inspirational. It is full of revelation. But you've heard other messages that were informative and inspirational and revealed new information to you. But here's the difference. The message of the gospel of Jesus is more than that. It is the only education that you and I can receive that will transform us from spiritual death to spiritual life. You can raise cows the best way the world has to offer. But if you don't know Christ, you're still spiritually dead. If you don't learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and thus obey, then you're still in spiritual death. The gospel, the Word of God, is transformative for eternity. It's for eternity, folks. It hasn't changed and it will never change. But as you and I know, just about every industry, just about everything that we come in contact with on a daily basis, whether it's your cell phone or your microwave or your car, changes. The technology changes. You can't learn how to operate this cell phone, okay? You can't learn how to operate it and expect that for eternity you'll know how to operate a cell phone. Because they change. Everything changes. I hate it. Most of you hate it. But that's just how it is. The great thing about the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, is that it never changes. It transforms us for eternity. It transforms us from spiritual death to spiritual life. And Jesus is pointing that out. The words that I have spoken is the reason by which you are fruitful. You have spiritual life. The second truth is this. The second truth is the key to fruitfulness is staying connected to Christ. The key to fruitfulness is staying connected to Christ. Look at verse 4. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. We can see in this verse that Jesus is describing for us the way in which a follower of Christ can be fruitful rather than fruitless. The key is staying connected to Christ. The key is abiding with Christ. The key is remaining. The key is dwelling with Christ. And Jesus uses this image of the vine and the branches that a fruitful followers of Christ have to be connected. There is no such thing as a self-contained Christian. There's no such thing as a self-contained Christian. You must be, you have to be connected first and foremost with Jesus Christ. This is a simple farming image. A branch that is separated from the supply of nourishment has no possibility of producing fruit. If you have a fruit tree in the back in your backyard, and you go and just chop one of the branches off and let it lay there on the ground, you know good and well it's not going to produce anything. It might look okay the first day. It might look okay the second day. But man, when the sun comes out and the heat is on, it's going to wither and dry and produce nothing. This is also a spiritual truth. As a follower of Jesus, you cannot cease to abide in Christ and expect that you will be fruitful. And here's the thing, you can try. You may have tried. I've tried. You can pretend. You may have pretended. I have. The Pharisees tried. Those that pretended, Jesus called hypocrites. If we try to figure out a way to produce fruit without being connected to Christ, we will always come to a dead end street. Why? Because it's impossible. Many times our focus when we consider this image is to ask, have I been cut off? Am I fruitful or fruitless? When we do this by comparing ourselves to others who claim to be followers of Christ. This is what I call scoreboard watching. The scoreboard is for the fans and to determine the winner and the loser when the buzzer sounds. A lot of coaches actually tell their players to ignore the scoreboard. Why? Because it really doesn't matter what the score is until the final buzzer goes off. And that same principle applies to followers of Jesus Christ. We don't need to be looking at the scoreboard and comparing ourselves. We need to be abiding in Him, obeying Him, following Him, drawing near to Him, dwelling to Him, and do it until the final buzzer goes off. And if you do that, guess what? The scoreboard takes care of itself. It takes care of itself. Jesus wants us to realize that our focus needs to be on the fundamentals. Abiding with Him. We often ask the wrong questions like, am I producing fruit? When we should be asking, am I abiding in Christ? And although the image of the vineyard contrasts fruitful and fruitless, the most important image is the connection between bearing fruit and abiding with Christ. There's a simple equation. Simple equation here that we need to understand, and it's this. Failure to abide with Christ always leads to fruitlessness. Failure to abide with Christ always leads to fruitlessness. The transformative power of the gospel of Jesus, the key to fruitfulness, is staying connected to Christ. The third truth that we see in this passage is that there's no room for individualism. There's no room for individualism. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. You might be stubborn the way I am stubborn, especially was stubborn as a child. And you may be challenged by, you can do nothing without me. But I want to share something with you. If you want to walk with Christ, you can't be stubborn about God telling you, Christ telling you, that you can't do it without Him. You can't be. Because it's the truth. In the Christian life, there is no room for individualism. This verse, as we look at it, almost seems redundant, but Jesus wants us to understand that a core component of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ is our identity. Christ doesn't want us to confuse our role in the relationship. We are the branches. He is the vine. In verse 5, He repeats the initial statement as if to say, listen, don't miss this. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine. I am the source of life. I am the source of strength. I am the source of all vitality. You are the branches. You don't have the capacity to be fruitful in and of yourself. You see, our identity should be an everyday concern. Christ doesn't want us to confuse His role with our role, or our role with His role. The problem is, we hear messages every day that contradict this truth. You see, one of the prevailing philosophies of our postmodern culture is individualism. It has invaded every institution in the Western world. It has invaded medicine. It has invaded education. It has invaded the family. It has invaded government. And this philosophy, which says, my truth is the most important truth, has also invaded the church of Jesus Christ. But in reality, it isn't really new for the church of Jesus Christ. The flesh, you see, has always pushed people away from dependence on someone or something else. But what do you think it was that drove Adam and Eve to disobey God? It was their desire to be their own God. It had nothing to do with the fruit. It had nothing to do with them being told, do not eat this fruit. It had everything to do with Satan telling them, God knows that if you eat it, you'll be like Him. It's all about identity, dependence. That prevailing philosophy that we see in our culture today is so powerful today because it's celebrated in our society. And because it's celebrated in our society, we think that we can sanitize it. We think that we can Christianize it. But individualism is anti-Christian. It's anti-Christian. Why? Because we are a body of believers that must be connected to Jesus to be fruitful. You see that? The core component of who we are, our identity, is that we are connected to Jesus Christ and thus connected as a body of believers. That's the core component of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be connected to Him. In order to connect to Him, we have to deny ourselves, we have to deny our flesh, and surrender to Christ. It's easy for us to say that we know He is God and we are not. But for those of us that love, or shall I say live, to be in control, our actions often point to the truth that we don't always trust God to be in control of our lives. But He says, again, almost like we're preschoolers, remember, I am the vine. You are the branches. And you can do nothing without me. Let's look at verse 6 as we close. Verse 6. This is the verse that most everybody wants to talk about. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into a fire, and they are burned. There's quite a bit of commentary on verse 6, and some of it relates to the image to the judgment that will happen after the return of Christ. So some would categorize this image along with the image that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 25 of the separating of the sheep from the goats. There are some obvious parallels in this image and other images of the final judgment, but I also believe that in this image, Jesus wants us to see that it isn't religious practices that cause us to be fruitful. It isn't baptism. It isn't church attendance. It isn't reading your Bible. It isn't praying or tithing that causes us to be faithful. And as the pastor, I'm telling you, all those things are good things. But that's not what causes us to be fruitful. Those are the things that happen in our lives because we are intentionally connected and abiding with Christ. We don't do those things so that we can be fruitful. Because we're fruitful, those are the things that flow out of our lives. You see, we can do things that make us look like we are connected to Jesus. We can pretend that we are abiding with Him. And we may can fool a lot of people. But the only one that matters is God. And He knows whether we're connected to Christ or not. Pretending will not make you fruitful. You and I have to remember that during the earthly ministry of Jesus, the whole religious system was overrun with people pretending. And that's why they nailed Him to a cross. Because they were pretending. This image of the vineyard, this image of the gardener, this image of the vine and the branches, the pruning and the separating and the withering and the gathering together and the burning is an image that's not supposed to condemn us to hell. It's supposed to encourage us. It's supposed to push us. It's supposed to, in essence, force us to reconcile in our life whether we are just pretending or we're really abiding with Christ. And you know, that's what it's all about. It's all about us realizing that we can't do it without Him. We are nothing without Him. And so we might as well do whatever it takes to connect to Christ every single day. Connect, abide, dwell. Allow Him to be the Lord that He already is. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this image. Thank You for Your Word and its truth, the power. It's amazing. And when Your Word goes forth, it never comes back void. And I pray today as we've examined Your Word, Lord, that You would continue to encourage us to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, to do whatever we need to do. As individuals, as a body of Christ, to connect our life to Your life. Because that's where the source of life is. Lord, let us not be discouraged. Let us be encouraged to surrender to You, to walk with You, to abide with You. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.